You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to Nutrition for Me on UK Health Radio, your global feel-good radio. Today's show is brought to you in association with Revive Active, our show sponsor, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, offering solutions across all life stages. Revive Active are committed to pure, premium, and positive solutions for everyone's well-being needs, working with your body's needs from morning to night, from energy to a restful sleep, kids' health to active aging. Revive Active, who are not only providing UK Health Radio listeners with an exclusive 15% off their entire range at reviveactive.com with Radio 15. Even better, throughout September, their joint complex supplement not only comes with this discount, but also with 20% extra free, making this valuable addition to your healthy joint journey even greater value. Today, we're going to be talking about healthy joints for healthy aging. Did you know that it was World Physiotherapy Day earlier this month, with the key focus of the day to bring awareness around healthy aging to avoid frailty in later years? So we're really pleased to have as our guest, Charlie Goodchild. He's a physiotherapist whose mantra is better never ends, who through his podcast and his clinic helps people live healthier lives. And together, we're going to be looking at what we can do in terms of nutrition and exercise to avoid frailty and all the impacts that we can experience as our joints age. We're looking today at healthy joints for healthy aging. Welcome to the show, Charlie. It's great to have you here.
Thanks for inviting me, Dora. It's lovely to be on.
It's so important to talk about this topic because people often think about aging in terms of skin aging and hands aging and wrinkles, but we don't talk enough about the skeleton and the joints and what happens to them as they age and how that can contribute to our aging and how we feel. We're going to be talking a lot more about that, but tell us more about your mantra, better never ends, how your work as a physiotherapist helps achieve that goal.
Sure. Well, a few years ago, I was doing a bit of soul searching of my own and trying to figure out what it was that motivated me and drove me forwards. And I was reading a book called Start With Why, by Simon Sinek, and it was trying to get you to essentially figure out what it is that inspires you. And I kept coming back to this saying that a coach that I used to work with, he was a national level coach, and he kept saying to the players, come on, keep working hard, better never ends, keep working at it. And it was just a phrase that really stuck in my head. And whilst I was reading this book, it kept coming back to me that made sense to me as to why I kept making the decisions in my life, why I would choose to pursue different sports, why I would make changes in my career, why I would try to improve upon my learning, reading new books. So it just kept coming back to this idea of betterment, and better never ends just kept ringing around in my head. So when I then made a decision to set up a business, this phrase just kept ringing around in my mind, better never ends, better never ends. How do I make sense of that as a business? I have a passion for helping people live healthy lives, and better just kept coming through, this idea of betterment. So I set up the business Better, and it's a physio clinic in central London. And we really focus on helping people solve complex discomfort, injury problems, and really help them to overcome injuries, perhaps when other physios haven't been able to. So we have three clinics in London. We host a podcast, which is aimed at helping other physios to improve upon their skills. So that's called the Physio Coach Podcast. And again, really rooted in the idea of better never ends. And yeah, now it's a bit of a life of mine, really, that it's kind of surrounded in this idea of better never ends.
We have to keep on moving forward and progressing in life. I really resonate with what you're saying, Charlie. Now, today we're talking about healthy joints, healthy aging. You're a physiotherapist, you're an expert in joints. And many people usually only see a physiotherapist to aid in recovery. But does your profession also have an impact on preventative health?
One of our business taglines is feel better, live better. Physios are very much understood to be the feel better part. So you have an injury, you're feeling discomfort, so you'll then go and see a physio to help them solve your problems so that you feel better. But what I think we have an amazing opportunity to do is to help people do the next bit, which is live better. So that's the bit where we can really look at preventative health, lifestyle changes, to really inspire someone towards some level of key behavior change in their life so that they can, as a result, live better. And physios have lots of skills for that. We understand behavior change. We understand health, not just in terms of musculoskeletal structures, but also we need a holistic understanding of the body in order to encourage someone to make important changes in their life. And by the time someone comes to us, there's a good chance that they have something a little more complicated that isn't just going to get better on its own, or doesn't just need one or two exercises that are kind of off the shelf exercises. They might need something a little more in depth. We have to look at the root cause of one of their problems, which can often be something around lifestyle. So hence why I see it as a real opportunity for us to then look into these other lifestyle factors, perhaps nutrition, sleep, stress, even perhaps the relationships they have with themselves or other people, and obviously exercise being one of those parts as well.
Everything works together in the body, doesn't it? Everything we do impacts the body, and that is reflected. So I guess you're meeting all different kinds of people and learning so much on that journey about how their lifestyle is impacting their health.
It's honestly the one of the privileges of my life to be able to help people to make changes that impact the rest of their lives. So obviously it doesn't always go exactly how you want it to, but I've got so many cases in my mind where I can look back and think, what a wonderful journey that was to help someone make the steps towards their recovery into genuine lifestyle change, a genuine opportunity to change so much in their life.
With recovery and health, it is a journey that we're all on. Let's take a look at some of the top nutrition and exercise tips to support joints in what we're talking about today, healthy joints, healthy aging. What are the basics that we need to know about, the five top tips for healthy joints?
I think there's four words encapsulate so much, certainly regarding joint health. It's use it or lose it. And if we really understand that catchphrase, if we really think about it, everyone will have heard of it before, then we can start to make good, positive choices around the important things we do for exercise in particular. So for example, if in your teenage years or 20s you played sport and then you stopped playing for 20 years, you can't really look back and say, I played football recently and I can still then go and play something, go for a run and be totally fine with it. 20 years is a long time for your body to decondition away from that ability to cope with the impacts associated with that sport. So as a result, you would need to take it a little more slowly. You would need to then build it up again. Luckily, use it or lose it isn't just an end point. If you have lost some of that capability, you have the opportunity to build it back up again. The older you are, the slower you have to take it in that progression. But it's still very possible. I have people that come to see me in their 60s and 70s that do amazingly well, having not done any significant exercise for decades. So although you have to go slower and your ceiling or your potential is a bit lower than someone else who's been exercising for a long period, there's still so much opportunity for people to make amazing changes at whatever stage they are in their life and their exercise journey. And I think if we're trying to keep it as simple as possible for someone to take away, the best thing for them to do is to consider that use it or lose it phrase, maybe reflect upon where they've been in recent years and make a decision from there about what might be a sensible journey from there. And if they're struggling, the best option is always to go and see a health professional to guide them on that journey.
So that's your first tip, use it or lose it. What's next?
I think the other part is that you mentioned it earlier around wrinkles being a very normal part of aging. And another very normal part of aging is that your joints will change with age. I've almost used it as this idea of joint wear is like the wrinkles on the inside. So it's very normal and almost inevitable that our body will wear on the inside as well as on the outside. And some people might get quite put off by exercise because they've been told that their joints are wearing and therefore they shouldn't exercise. It's quite the opposite, actually, that a healthy joint is a joint that is being loaded on a regular basis. And you might not cope with as much impact if you've got significant wear in your joint. But that doesn't mean you should avoid impact at all costs. Again, going back to that use it or lose it concept, if you don't impact the joint, you will start to lose the ability to tolerate impact. And the way that manifests is that your cartilage becomes a bit weaker, your muscles and tendons and bones will become weaker or less dense or less muscular. So as a result, it's really important that you do use your body. But just going back to the main point of it is that don't be afraid if you have been told that your joints have an element of wear in them, degeneration or arthritis, whatever it is that you've been told by your doctor. It's still important that you do load your body in order to make it healthy. So that's not a disaster if you've been told that. If anything, it's inevitable that there'll be some wear, and it's important to be confident enough to continue moving. There's another catchy phrase here: motion is lotion. So when you move, you lubricate your joints, you ensure that they stay healthy.
The body's so dynamic. We've got to move our body, and then it's going to work better. We can't just be static. Very important. We've talked about use it, don't lose it. Remembering also there could be some joint wear, but not to worry if your doctor's told you that. There's stuff you can do. You don't just give up and sit on the sofa, do you?
Exactly. And I work alongside Arthrosamid, who are a company that provide an injection for knee arthritis. And we set up a free online program, which is for people who are looking to recover after an injection or someone who's just struggling with knee symptoms. And we designed lots of different levels for that. So a beginner's level, an intermediate's level, and an advanced level, because it's really important that you use exercise at the stage that you're at and the fitness that you have. So making sure that you don't overdo it and that you start at something that feels right for you. It's not too easy either, but it's also not too hard that ends up causing some level of soreness, discomfort, or sets you right back and you begin all over again, perhaps losing confidence.
What are your other top tips for healthy joints?
So managing your weight is super important across the board, and it's a genuine problem across the globe that we're gaining weight as a species now because it's just so tricky to get your nutrition right. But weight loss for people who are overweight or obese is a tricky thing to navigate because there's so many dynamics here, and it should be something that you should be working on gradually and looking at genuine lifestyle changes that you can sustain. But it's healthy for your joints to be able to not just the biomechanical load of being a bit heavier, but it's the systemic load that it puts onto your body. If you are a little heavier, your body is more likely to be systemically inflamed, and as a result, your cartilage structures become weaker. So that's something they've noticed in the literature, in the studies, is that it's not just about that biomechanical load down on the joints that's unhealthy for your joints, but it's also the systemic inflammation that's driven by being heavier than you should be. So it's something to work on slowly, but definitely is to be healthy and to look after your joint health is that you should be aiming to be a healthy weight.
That is the other reason why nutrition and exercise is so important, because weight gain, this being overweight, puts an enormous pressure on the body. I see it myself in my clinic, Charlie. And then when people start to lose that weight in a healthy way, they eat better, then the body is biochemically in a much better state. So therefore the joints are healthier, but then they don't also have that physical weight on the joint, which is just another load to carry. Some people are carrying a whole other person on their back, aren't they?
It's definitely twofold. So yeah, both of those factors are super important to maintaining healthy joints.
What else should we be thinking about?
One of the things that I encourage every single person that comes in to see me is to make sure you maintain a healthy muscle mass. So as we age, it's another inevitability that you will lose an element of your muscle strength and muscle mass. You can significantly minimize the impact of that by doing enough resistance training. The World Health Organization encouraged 2 resistance sessions a week, some level of resistance training involving moving weights or moving resistances. What key though is that it's enough to stimulate fatigue within the muscle. So many people might start an exercise program with weights and to begin with, it feels quite hard to them. But if they don't then progress that exercise program as they get stronger, the impact or the benefit of that program is actually only really about 3 weeks worth of benefit as their body's adapting initially. And then it just stops becoming beneficial. It's just a maintenance program. It's not only that they should be lifting weights regularly to increase and optimize their muscle health, but also that they should be progressing those exercises, progressing the weights to make sure that they continue to get that benefit over the years. And some people will pick up a program and do it for a few months, maybe a year, but the benefits, and this is really shown in the evidence, that the benefits are across many, many years, potentially even decades. It's about trying to find a program or design or have someone design a program for you that you can genuinely maintain for the very long term, not just a few months, but something you can maintain in your lifestyle for many, many years. And it shouldn't feel too overwhelming. Even one session a week, I know we said about 2 30-minute sessions, but one session a week is so much better than no sessions a week. So really thinking about what is it that you can fit into your life that you can continue to do over many months and many years to really get the most benefit for optimal muscle health.
This is a really good point, Charlie. So what you're saying is that when people are exercising, they have to switch up and change their program. They can't stick with the same program. So say they go to the gym and they do a certain level of weight. Should they be adding more weights onto that, heavier weights?
Absolutely. And it's a really common finding that someone has done the same program for years and years and years because that's what they were told to do. And I totally get it. You were told by an expert that this is the program you should do, but it becomes decreasingly beneficial the longer you go on because your body is then adapted to it. So the only benefit really comes from your muscles being challenged to do something that they're not capable of doing. You take your muscles outside of their comfort zones. And actually, we're not just talking about muscles here. We're talking about tendons, bones, cartilage. You take those structures outside of their comfort zone and the body hates not being able to tolerate a load. So what it does is it stimulates a change within the cell. It stimulates that cell to become stronger, to become tougher, more resilient, denser, whatever the structure is designed to do. It then is driven towards an adaptation to improve upon that function.
What about people that might not want to be too muscly? How could they continue to improve?
It's actually really, really hard to get muscly. And this is something that people would look at a bodybuilder, for example, and say, well, I don't want to look like that. But it's really difficult to achieve that. Bodybuilders are eating a crazy amount of calories that most people just wouldn't be able to eat. I mean, I went through a period in my younger life where I was a rugby player when I was trying to put on muscle and I was mostly unsuccessful. It was really difficult for me to do. So there are some genetic components that make some people really good at building muscle. There is a gender component to it. Men are much better at gaining muscle. There's also an age component. The younger you are, the easier you can do it. But the vast majority of it is around the way that you train. So bodybuilders will train with medium weights and they'll do really long sessions with lots of repetitions, and that will then stimulate huge amounts of fatigue within the muscle that then grows over time. But they also need to be eating huge amounts of calories that the average person just wouldn't eat. So for the average person who's worried about that, if you don't want to be a bodybuilder, you won't grow muscle that way. If you don't want to grow muscle mass, just maintain a healthy diet, just maintain a good amount of protein that helps to replace the muscle tissue and make it stronger, but providing your calories aren't too excessive and that your training isn't really intense and designed around this kind of long sessions, high fatigue, then there's a good chance you won't put on muscle mass in the way that you're worrying about. And what most people notice is that they just feel that their muscles get a bit more toned and they might grow a small amount of muscle, but it just changes the shape of them rather than makes them look big and bulky.
So good to talk to you today because we're getting proper expert advice. Thank you so much for that. What's your fifth tip for healthy joints?
Well, the other part will be around cardiovascular exercise. And I think healthy joints require a good diversity of exercise. And in fact, if you don't mind, I'm going to split this into two. So cardiovascular exercise involves some level of motion is lotion, which we spoke about earlier. So moving your joints regularly. That could involve walking for some people. It could involve running. It could involve cycling. Whatever it is that gets you out and moving around, increasing your heart rate. I'll reference the World Health Organization advice again, which is 150 minutes of moderate exercise. And that's anything that makes it just a little bit difficult to get a full sentence in when you've got someone next to you when you're talking. And or it could be 75 minutes of vigorous exercise. And that's where you can't speak in full sentences at all because your heart rate's too high. So any combination of those two will be enough. And I can't then ignore stability. I can't ignore stability. So I'm going to do six, which is, I hope you don't mind. So the sixth tip involves do something that is around balance and stability. This might be tied into a sport that you're good at. It might be tied into an exercise class that you enjoy, maybe a Pilates or a yoga. It might just be tied into your gym routine. So doing some level of gym exercise where you have to balance and stabilize. And this is to some degree to be preventing falls. So the most catastrophic thing someone who is older could have is a fall and then a fracture or a big injury to one of their joints. Once you've had this, it significantly increases your chance of disability and even mortality. So the best thing for anyone who's getting a little bit older or worried about their age as they worried about their health as they age is to make sure that they are stable and strong on their feet so they can handle different terrains, different dynamics around the house. They can get up and downstairs easily. So all of these different types of exercise are all designed to challenge those demands within your life as best as possible to keep you healthy, to keep you independent as you age.
We're talking with Charlie Goodchild. He's a physiotherapist. We're speaking about healthy joints and healthy aging. And we're going to be talking a lot more about this after a few messages from our commercial partners.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Dora Walsh on the Nutrition For Me show on UK Health Radio, your global feel-good radio. We're speaking with Charlie Goodchild about healthy joints, healthy aging. And we've just been talking about the five top tips for healthy joints. And you've really opened up our eyes. So thank you so much for running through those points. What are your thoughts about good posture? Is it really important for us to sit up straight? And what about all these people that are slumping all the time?
This is one of my favorite things to talk about because I think it liberates so many people. When you look into the evidence, and by the way, there has been a lot of evidence around this because there's big money in ergonomics. So ergonomic companies have been trying to find perfect posture and to establish what it is. But every time they look into posture and discomfort, what they find is that there is no such thing as bad posture. So there's another catchphrase that I'll give you here. The best posture is your next posture. So what they find is that people who have the least amount of discomfort are the ones who move around the most. They fidget, they shuffle, they slump, they sit up, they stand, they walk around. The variety seems to be the key for healthy posture. However, there is a bit of a caveat here. If you do have discomfort, there's a good chance that slumping might be something that hurts. There's also, if you sit upright all of the time, there's a good chance that that might cause some discomfort. So the key is to find a posture that is comfortable for you and do your best to vary that posture regularly. One of my colleagues, Simon Cabot, he's an excellent physiotherapist, and he introduced me to another phrase, which is 30 every 30. So that means try and find 30 seconds of movement every 30 minutes. So that might be a stretch. It might be getting up to go to get some water. It might be just standing up, sitting back down again, standing up, sitting back down again. Something that just breaks that static posture where possible. There's another element to this as well that could be interesting for some people, because some people just want to have good posture. And I totally understand that, because there is an element of status. There's also an element of feeling good when your posture is healthy and upright. So if you want to have a good, healthy, upright posture for aesthetic reasons, that's absolutely fine. But if that then is compromising the way you feel and it's starting to cause discomfort, you may then need to consider the previous explanation that we gave, which is to vary your posture regularly, maybe increase the amount that you stretch. There's also another final part to this. I hope you don't mind me kind of going into extra depth. It really is one of my favorite topics to discuss. And that's that if you want to have an upright posture in your older years, you do have to be aware that if you spend a lot of time slumping, your spine will then adapt and it will likely end up a bit more curved. And as you age, it might then increase its curvature. So there's a few things to consider there. And really the key message is around varying your posture. The best posture is your next posture. And if aesthetics are important to you and you want to feel nice and upright, then you might have to be aware of that, because ultimately posture is a habit. So you might need to work on the habit of being upright, perhaps even strengthening your upright posture muscles with some level of weightlifting to make that easier. But if it's getting in the way of comfort and making you uncomfortable, make sure that you do vary your posture enough and introduce some level of stretching and movement that helps to alleviate that symptom.
Kind of like things are not so static, are they? It sounds like what you're promoting is being more dynamic, and this is building strength in the body and healthier than just forcing yourself into an upright posture.
For sure. And unfortunately, our lifestyle and the modern life is against us in that many people work in offices where their environment is fixed. They have to sit. They have a desk in front of them at a fixed height. Their monitor in front of them is at a fixed height. It's really difficult for them to create variety. So they do have to work hard for that. Some people might be lucky enough to have a stand-up desk where they can switch between sitting and standing. Perhaps their chair can move around in different ways. So they should. I encourage people, if they do have those chairs, to use those functions and change things up. But honestly, it's really tough, because most people have a lifestyle where perhaps they spend a lot of time in the car. They have to then almost work extra hard outside of those environments, outside of the car, outside of the office, to then move around more than they perhaps would have needed to if they didn't have those office-based jobs, those desk jobs. So it is really difficult because of our modern life.
It sounds like you're into stretching and relaxation. I guess people need to stretch themselves out if they get stiff. It's important to relax those muscles as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I would probably think more about movement as a main topic there rather than stretching, because there isn't necessarily an absolute necessity for everyone to stretch, but there is an absolute necessity for everyone to move. Mm-hmm. So some people like stretching, it feels really good for them, but stretching on its own doesn't necessarily reduce injury risk. It doesn't necessarily increase joint range of movement unless done to extreme levels. But movement is really good at helping to maintain the mobility that you have. And if you find that an area in your body is commonly stiff and commonly tight, then absolutely move into that. It doesn't have to be a stretch. It might be. I'm much less regimented about the exact way that people move. It's just about finding lots of variety and finding ways that stimulate the things, maintain the things that you already have, which is muscle mass, muscle strength, joint mobility, cardiovascular health, which is your general fitness. So just about the things that really move the needle in terms of health. But on the flip side of it, there are so many people I speak to who say, yeah, I know I've heard that before, but I just love the way it makes me feel. And that's of course, just as important.
Now let's talk about a balanced diet. How healthy are you? Do you eat well, Charlie? Does it help your joints to eat well, in your opinion?
I would say the most important thing for me is maintaining a healthy weight and to eat based on my exercise habits as well. So I use the gym a couple of times a week. I run 2 or 3 times a week. I like to play some sport when I can. So in order to do that, there's a few things I have to consider. I have to make sure that I'm getting enough protein into my diet so that my muscles repair and I don't lose muscle mass when I'm exercising the way I am. I also have to make sure I have enough carbohydrate to fuel that exercise. I also have to be aware of, because I do exercise, my appetite can be really quite high on some days. And I have to be aware that not to get too carried away and follow that appetite at times, because it's tricky. So on days where I'm perhaps resting or I haven't exercised so hard in a week, I have to be aware not to eat to my appetite necessarily, which is a constant battle. I do think I'm a healthy weight. I'm well within the kind of normal BMI. And that's the main thing I keep an eye on. But there's also days in the week where I treat myself. I think also psychologically, it's important to have one day in the week where I'm not super strict to my diet. Otherwise, I think I'll end up craving the foods that I enjoy. I definitely am partial to a bag of crisps or occasionally a bar of chocolate, but occasionally rather than as a genuine habit.
The foods and how they support your weight management. So obviously you're probably eating the right portions, not overeating, as you said, and you're using protein to repair those muscles, because muscles are dynamic, as we talked about. You know, they build up or they break down. So if you want to build muscle, we have to have enough protein, as well as carb, fuel, all that exercise. But do you ever think about nutrients on a smaller level in terms of supplementing your diet? Do you take vitamins or minerals or any kind of supplements at all?
The other part that helps to satiate my appetite is making sure I'm eating enough fruit and vegetables. So they'll be high in fiber. As a result, I'll feel fuller quicker. So I'm less likely to be tricked into overeating processed foods. So I try and minimize the amount of processed foods that I eat. If I'm getting enough fruit and vegetables, on the whole, I sense that for me, my vitamins and minerals are mostly catered for. I do take vitamin D throughout the year, actually. I can be prone to being slightly vitamin D deficient. I also take a protein supplement just because I find it quite difficult. I try not to eat too much meat, more on an ethical level rather than a nutritional level. So as a result, I'll ensure that I'm taking a whey protein supplement once a day. I also take creatine, more to do with my exercise habits, just to optimize the benefits of my exercise. I know some people get on really, really well with it. And if they struggle to eat enough fruit and vegetables, then a supplement may be beneficial for them to ensure that their vitamins and nutrient mineral levels are correct.
I love the fact that you're taking the vitamin D. This is a really big one at the moment. We've been talking about it for a long time. You keep seeing it out there in the media. It's so crucial. Vitamin C is a fat soluble nutrient. It contributes to the maintenance of normal bones and muscle function. And that's why I'm super keen on it myself. On the nutritional side, because I can see what you've said in terms of the movement and the body and supporting your health and exercising, but I'm always thinking about my macronutrients, so my protein, my carbohydrates, but I also think about my micronutrients, so the vitamins and minerals that I'm taking into my body, because I know that since the body is dynamic, since cartilage, muscles, bones are all dynamic, they're building up and breaking down all the time, I always think they need nutrition. We need to feed our bodies. And the more that we can support ourselves on the nutritional level, then the easier it is on the physical level when we work out and we do that exercise to get those results, because they kind of work in synergy with each other. Do you know what I mean?
I do. And actually, I've got a question for you here, Dora. And you know, I'm not a nutritionist. I'm a health-passioned physiotherapist. I've got a broad level of knowledge. But as a nutritionist, for someone who's more active, what do you tend to find are the key vitamins and minerals that someone should be looking to supplement, or what's a common area they might be deficient in?
For joint health, which we're talking about today, definitely the one we've talked about, vitamin D, and that's in the joint complex that I'm really super keen on from Revive Active, because they've got a joint complex. That's the supplement I love for joints. They do loads of different joint health, then that one, and it does contain vitamin D as well as vitamin K2, vitamin C, and some minerals like copper. And all of those vitamin D, K2, copper, vitamin D, they all work together synergistically. In the same way as you're talking about how exercise is really important to build up the muscle to support our joint health and movement, it's collagen and lotion. These nutrients work synergistically to support our health on that level. So for our joints. And then the other ingredients that I absolutely love for joint health are collagen, glucosamine, MSM, and hyaluronic acid. And you probably heard about those in the media. Glucosamine has been around for a while. But what I love about the Revive Active Joint Health Complex, there are 10 active ingredients in there, and they all work together in a really effective, synergistic way. So basically, when we're talking about things like boron, vitamin D3 and K2, we have to remember that vitamin D3 and K2, they move calcium into the bones. And that's really important for our bone strength And boron improves absorption and retention. So it promotes a strong bone matrix. Now, that's really important because the bones are stability. We rely on that skeleton every day. We want it to be strong. The other ingredients in the Revive Active Joint Complex are glucosamine, collagen, and hyaluronic acid. And those work well in synergy as well because glucosamine promotes the production of collagen. And hyaluronic acid is essential for repairing and maintaining cartilage. You're very familiar with those words, cartilage and all of that. And we need to keep those tissues healthy. And then we have copper, which is a mineral. Manganese is a mineral as well. And vitamin C, they work together synergistically as well. Vitamin C promotes collagen synthesis, whilst copper and manganese ensure that there is structural strength and stability. And then we have the glucosamine, the MSM, and the hyaluronic acid. And MSM provides sulfur, and that's very important for our cartilage formation. And hyaluronic acid keeps those joints lubricated. And as manganese supports connective tissue repair, that trio works well. So yeah, the reason I like Revive Active Joint Complex is that it not only includes all of those nutrients that I said I think are amazing for joint health, the vitamin D, the vitamin D, the K2, the copper, but it also contains not just those micronutrients, but things like collagen and glucosamine, and all working synergistically together to give us the raw materials to build up those tissues. So when we do that exercise and we stress the body out, you know, that's what happens when you have to break down your muscle fibers. You stress the body out and then we build back up. We need the protein, but we need those micronutrients as well to help build those different things that we need to create stability in the musculoskeletal system. So long story short, they are my top ones that I really love. And as a nutritionist, I'm totally obsessed with supplements. I literally could go to the health food shop for fun just to look at what they've got. We love it. And it's really important to know what you're putting into your body because there's a lot of stuff out there now and people don't always know what they're buying. They don't always understand what the ingredients mean or what they do. So it's really important that, you know, we read the labels and we look to see how much active ingredient is there because with the Revive Active Joint Complex, we've got actually 5,000 milligrams of marine collagen, and that is a type 1 collagen, which is, you know, constitutes around 90% of the total collagen in the body. And it's a crucial framework for structural health, strength, and flexibility in movement and stability in the body. So we need to have enough of it. So you don't just want a sprinkling of something. You want a good amount, just as like for what you were saying, when bodybuilders are working out, they eat a lot of food, don't they? Like, I've had
It's an obscene amount. Honestly, I used to live with a bodybuilder and I could not keep up. It was just so extreme, the amount of food they have to eat in order to grow their muscles to the way they do.
Yeah, so it just shows you something has to go in. There has to be an input to get the output. So when we're thinking about nutrients, you want to make sure, know what you're taking. Make sure it's got the right level in there, not just a sprinkling, but a good level. And yeah, read the labels. So that I hope that answers your question about supplementation, and definitely think about it, doing it, because it's like an insurance policy for your joint. That's how I see it.
Yeah, and actually it's reminded me of the importance of loading as well. Like we were talking about it earlier, but especially around bone density, as people get older, it's really common that they will become osteoporotic or osteopenic, which are different severities of losing density of bone. So you were speaking about the importance of the supplements to optimize the processes within the body, but you have to send the signals as well. And the signals are loading the body either with some level of weight training or some kind of impact. And this takes me on to the point that I wanted to say, which is that many people are really scared of running because they think that running is bad for your knees, bad for your hips, it's bad for your joints. But the studies just don't show that. If anything, it's the opposite. So what they're finding, and it makes sense if we think about what I said earlier in the episode, what they're finding is that recreational runners have the least amount of arthritis at knees and hips. So they get about 3% of runners, recreational runners, 2 to 3 times a week, get hip or knee arthritis. Whereas people who are inactive, sedentary, they get arthritis in the knees and hips at a rate of about 7%. So it's really interesting. And then on the other end of the scale, so elite athletes, So elite runners who run every day, sometimes twice a day, huge volumes of running, they do get more arthritis. So it is true that when you impact your joints too much, they do start to break down because they haven't got enough time to recover. But, and this is a really important but, if you have a healthy amount of recovery between your impact loads, which could be 2 to 3 runs a week if you're healthy, maybe 1 or 2 runs a week if you already have a level of arthritis or degeneration in your joints, then running can be a really healthy way to maintain your joints. As we said, motion is lotion. And also considering the use it or lose it concept, if you stop impacting your joints, you lose the ability to tolerate impact at all, and your cartilage structures will then start to degenerate faster. So it's really, really important that you send the signals into the body for the processes to be optimized. So that's the cartilage, the bones, the muscles, the tendons, all of it. Use it or lose it means all of it.
You know, it's so inspirational listening to you talk about this, because I can really feel you really into it. You really believe what you're saying. You've lived through it because you have your clients that you see changing right in front of your eyes, and you're changing, you know, how their body moves and ultimately the trajectory of their life. And there are different groups of people. And as you say, different people have unique needs and challenges when it comes to maintaining strong, flexible joints. You mentioned people getting older and, you know, they might get osteoporosis, arthritis, etc. But there are also genetic conditions as well. And some people are also prone to injury. Are you working with people like that as well to help them to strengthen their bodies?
Yeah, it's one of the great things about working in a clinic like ours. We don't specialize in any one particular area of the body or type of injury. We see anyone who comes in who's struggling with their injuries. So it could be all sorts of different people, all sorts of different ages and types of problems. So ultimately, the concepts and the philosophies that we uphold are the same for every person, but the starting point and the design of the program is individualized to everyone. And this is why I do encourage people who are struggling to seek out specialized help, because although the philosophies we're talking about here can be quite universal, the way you apply those, or in other words, the dose of exercise, which I think is important to consider, is so bespoke to the person. And it's tricky, actually. You know, even myself, who's been doing this for 15 plus years, you don't always get it right the first time. It's a trial and error process. Is this the right dose of exercise? Is this the right dose of recovery that you need? Is someone overloaded or under-recovered? Is someone under-prepared for the task? It's a very individual thing. So you have to consider their life, consider their starting point, consider what they've done before, what they're aiming to do in the future. So it can be a complicated process, even when the philosophies are relatively straightforward and universal.
We're going to be talking a lot more about healthy joints, healthy aging with Charlie Goodchild, physiotherapist, after a few messages from our commercial partner.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Dora Walsh on UK Health Radio on the Nutrition for Me show. We're talking about healthy joints for healthy aging with Charlie Goodchild, physiotherapist. And we've really delved into a lot of discussion about movement, about our joints, about our nutrition, our health, and also dispelling a lot of myths that are just not true. We've got to use it or lose it. And it's really important that we just keep on moving. It's been lovely to have you on the show. It's so good that we've managed to speak about the amazing physical and nutritional tips for joint health today and making that connection between healthy joints and healthy aging. I guess the stronger your joints, the healthier your physical body, the younger that you're going to be, the more dynamic you're going to be. You're going to be more energetic. Your range of movement is going to be better because healthy joints for healthy aging starts now. We have to get moving. We have to remember that good nutrition and supplementation is so important, and your joints are really going to thank you for it. So definitely do that. Support yourself on both levels by doing the movement and also making sure your diet and your supplements are good. So definitely recommend that, and recommend Joint Complex from Revive Active. Follow the basics. So we've got some great tips at the start. Use it or lose it. Remember that there could be joint wear and tear inside your joints, but that's not the end of the world. You need to manage your weight because we don't want to put excess pressure on our joints. And we have to maintain healthy muscle mass and do that resistant training to build that muscle up. And we need to focus on stability with exercises like Pilates or yoga to prevent falls. And all of that variety is going to really support our joint health. Definitely follow Charlie's tips. Good joints equals more confidence and enjoyment of life, and most likely a social outlet and a positive outlook. If you've been inspired by today's show, do check out Charlie's Better Never Ends website. And of course, our sponsor, Revive Active, who not only provide UK Health Radio listeners an exclusive 15% off their range at reviveactive.com, with Radio 15 as a code. Even better, throughout September, Joint Complex not only comes with this discount, but also with 20% extra free, making this a valuable addition to your healthy joint journey, even greater value. But if you're getting out there, starting your exercise regime today, you can walk down to your local high street and find Revive Active products in Boots the Chemist, as well as Holland & Barrett, and your local independent pharmacy or health store. Listeners, I really hope you've enjoyed listening to the show as much as I've enjoyed presenting it. Join us again next week on the Nutrition for Me show on UK Health Radio. Until then, goodbye and thank you.
Power up fall projects with Ego at Lowe's. Every tool delivers power beyond belief. So whether it's leaves, limbs, or lawn cleanup, count on Ego to deliver the power, performance, and innovation you need. And now for a limited time, save up to $60 on select blowers, chainsaws, and pole saws. Shop Ego today at Lowe's. Offers valid through 10-1 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details. Power up fall projects with Ego at Lowe's. Every tool delivers power beyond belief. So whether it's leaves, limbs, or lawn cleanup, count on Ego to deliver the power, performance, and innovation you need. And now for a limited time, save up to $60 on select blowers, chainsaws, and pole saws. Shop Ego today at Lowe's. Offers valid through 10-1 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.